The motorsports world is where legends are made, the unthinkable happens, and barriers are broken. One man harnesses the power of an industry every week. This is the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor, with Jim Beaver.
Welcome to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor, season number 10. Yeah, that's right. We've been doing this thing for 10 years. This is our 10th anniversary, and we are doing it to it. Big, big show today. I am actually, I got a lot of stuff coming up. I'm getting ready to go to Sturgis. We'll be doing a show on site from Sturgis this weekend, taping a show. That'll probably air next week. Sturgis will still be going on, but next week I'll be going to Vegas to Reno. I'm sitting fourth in the Best in Desert points in the UTV Unlimited division, and we got a big race on our hands then. So we got a lot of stuff coming at you, but it should be fun for you radio guests. A lot of stuff to talk about, and today is definitely not going to disappoint. We've got a couple of big, big guests. If you're a YouTube fan, if you're an automotive fan, you've heard the name Tyler Hoover. Well, Tyler Hoover is going to be one of our guests today on the show from Hoovy's Garage. He's also going to be the Grand Marshal of the NASCAR race at Watkins Glen this weekend. So Tyler Hoover, going to be one of my guests on the show today. We've also got my good friend Ron Capps. That is right. One of the greatest of all time to ever drive a funny car, Ron Capps, coming off a massive victory at the Winter Nationals this past weekend. Yeah, it sounds weird to say Winter Nationals this weekend because it's summer, but it was delayed, and Ron Capps coming away victorious there in Pomona. Capps will be on the show this week, and we've also got the legend who returned to the New England Forest Rally this past weekend, my good friend David Higgins, coming off a big victory behind the wheel of a Ford. Yes, I said a Ford, for the first time in over a decade, running a Ford rally car instead of the Subaru we all have come to know and love. DH, going to be a guest on the show talking about that big victory where he beat Ken Block, Travis Pastrana, Brandon Siminuk, Barry McKenna. Big victory for DH, and he's here to tell the story and tell us all about his return to rally here in the United States and that big victory at the New England Forest Rally. Who knows? Maybe we'll have a couple of guests surprise us. We're definitely going to take some fan questions. Hit me up at JimBeaver15, and we'll get those questions answered on the show. But, man, we got a big, big show coming today. I can't wait to get into things. I can't wait to dive into things. Who knows? Maybe we'll be able to slide in some power rankings as well. But big one coming at you right after this short commercial break right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high-performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
From the 2018 Master Distillers of the Year comes a bold new American whiskey in Fistful of Bourbon. Their whiskeys have been award-winning for generations. Now they're going all in on bourbon, blending five straight whiskeys to create a big, balanced bourbon that stands apart from everything else. So grab yourself a fistful of bourbon, a blend of five bourbons created with over 100 years of whiskey blending experience. It ain't just a bourbon, it's a damn fistful. Please enjoy responsibly.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. We're just settling in here for what is going to be one hell of a show. Lots of stuff cranking, lots going on. We've got, like I said before, I'm heading out to Sturgis. Really excited about this. Kind of a bucket list thing for me. Never been to Sturgis before. There's an Ultra 4 race going down. Obviously, there's Sturgis in general. My buddy Tim Montana, guest on the show, is playing a concert that I'm going to get to go to. And we'll be hanging out with Fistful of Bourbon. Anthony Bollinger, a.k.a. Fistful of Terry, he and I are going to be throwing down some radio. So definitely looking forward to having one hell of a good time out there at Sturgis. And checking one off the bucket list for me. So if you are at Sturgis, hit me up at JimBeaver15 on social media. Let me know you're out there. Like I said, I'll be hanging out with Fistful of Bourbon. Love to see you guys. Love to hang out with you. Love to have a good time, if we are there. But moving on to bigger and better things, man. We got a lot to talk about in the world of motorsports. Before we do that, man, I want to just say a little bit about the Olympics. You know, this is a weird, weird year with the Olympics. I am, you know, every single time the Olympics roll around every 2 years, you know, summer, winter, I am always glued to the TV for 2 weeks. I love the Olympics. I even watch the stupid sports that they have in there that, you know, are arguably aren't sports. I'm really excited this year that surfing got brought in. Skateboarding got brought in. Obviously, BMX has been there. They've also got some BMX freestyle stuff going on. To me, it's really, really cool to see action sports now being infused into the Olympics games, much as snowboarding was years ago. And I'm hoping that skateboarding sticks because I think it brings in a younger audience as well as surfing that the Olympics needs. And I truly think they have got some people tuning in and some viewers that they haven't had in the past. But I guess one of the things about the Olympics, and this year is a weird year because it is a year later than it should have been last year. But, you know, the COVID-19 pandemic obviously derailed that, and it's weird because we're having Summer Olympics and then we turn around and have Winter Olympics here in a couple, you know, in a few months. And this is the first time in a long time that it's been, basically in the same year, you know, to an extent. So that's weird that obviously you've got all these political undertones, and it seems like everything has been politicized in regards to the Olympics. And I guess the reason why I like the Olympics and the reason why I tune in every 2 years to watch the United States, you know, do battle against all the other nations in the world is because for once, every 2 years, everybody in the United States are going for the same thing. There's no Republicans and Democrats. There's no racial undertones. There's no religious undertones. There's no, LGBTQ undertones. Like, you know, it seems like everything in this country is a fight, and especially the last couple of years. You know, I feel like dating back the last decade, everything's a fight. You know, it's like there's this side and that side, and I guess the reason, and this country's been split in so many different ways, not split in half. I mean, we're split in a million different ways. It's like you took a glass window and threw it on the ground and just shattered. But I feel like the Olympics is the one thing every 2 years that brings the entire country together. And we're not rooting for a specific subcategory or specific political party or a specific this or that in this country. We're rooting for one thing, and that's for our athletes from the United States. And so, like, for one time every 2 years, for 2 weeks, everybody in the country is on the same page, and we're all pulling for the same exact thing. And to me, I love that. I love the sense of America. I love the sense that all of us are on the same page, and we're all rooting for the same person, the same team. Like, to me, that is an amazing thing. That is awesome. That is why I love the Olympics. Consider me an Olympic junkie for that matter, but I don't care what event you are. If you're representing the red, white, and blue in the United States of America, I'm pulling for you. I am absolutely pulling for you. I want to see our country on top, and there's a sense of pride in that, and I think everybody else, for the most part in this country, feels the same way. And I think that's cool, and I am thankful that the Olympics does that and allows our country to get together once every 2 years and all pull for the same exact thing, and that's the United States on top, and that's pretty awesome. So, yes, I guess Olympic rant over at this point. Was it even a rant? Not a rant. I was just kind of explaining myself. I wanted to chime in, though, on something. You know, this is a part of the off-road community that is near and dear to my heart. I obviously have been around the off-road industry for a long time. My dad has been in the off-road industry for, you know, half a century at this point. My family has deep, deep roots. And I think the Off-Road Motorsports Hall of Fame is just it's an amazing, amazing organization. They do some amazing things for the off-road community, and it gives a nod to the past. I think, you know, everybody now, you know, we're looking at the future. You look at the guys in Trophy Truck. You look at the people just absolutely killing it right now, and many of them are going to be in the Off-Road Hall of Fame, but I love that the Off-Road Hall of Fame protects the history of our great sport. They do a bunch of amazing things behind the scenes, and they recognize people that throughout history have put in the work and have blazed trails for where we are today and what off-road is able to do. And I think this is an opportunity where, you know, we get a chance to look back and look at some of the amazing, amazing people, that have made up the sport of off-road and helped move us to where we're at now. And they just announced the class of 2021. It's an amazing, amazing group of people. Four inductees for 2021. Tim Morton, absolutely rightfully deserved. Tim Morton, he's been around, the industry for a very, very long time. Done amazing, amazing things. And this dates back all the way to the early 80s, I think 1983. You want to talk about motorcycles, you got to think about Tim Morton. I mean, he's got 4 motorcycle points championships, score overall pro motorcycle points championship, Baja 1000 wins, Baja 500 wins, I think 7 apiece, 1 San Felipe, just an amazing guy. He's accomplished a ton. Tim Morton going in. You've got John Marking, who a lot of you may not know, from the competition side, but John Marking, I mean, he is the man behind Fox Shocks. He started work at Jimco and, engineering degree, and he, you know, started, you know, began his career at Fox Shocks in 1992, ended up, helping design things and took over Fox and has basically put them, to where they're at today in this massive company. And he's helped, reshape, how the world looks at Shocks. You know, you got a guy like Steve Kelly going in, who has just absolutely been one of the key players in off-road over the years and helped establish rules. I mean, he was a phenomenal athlete, won so many races. He was a factory driver, an amazing, amazing guy. Steve Kelly goes in. And then one that's near and dear to my heart, a good friend of mine, Spencer Lowe, who, he had an off-road business and helped, do kits for mini trucks under the name Low Manufacturing, but he was an absolute complete menace behind the wheel, and I mean that in the best possible way, winning so many championships as a factory Nissan driver. Those of you who have been to Parker, you know Fox's, you know the restaurant on the river. Spencer and Restaurant and Resort on the River. Spencer owned that along with his wife Kathy for a long time, and that's where I got to know Spencer. I mean, the man was just a true, true, genuine human being with a heart of gold, and you know, and he was an absolute amazing, amazing driver behind the wheel. And Spencer Lowe going in as well. So that is the inductees for 2021. It also includes, I believe, 7 inductees from 2020 because they weren't allowed to be inducted last year. So it's going to be a big gala in Las Vegas. I believe the end of October, October 30th, the date on that one. So tickets, I believe, are on sale. The website is ormhoff.org, O-R-M-H-O-F.org, ormhoff.org. But definitely go and get your tickets. Check it out. Really blessed to be a part of the Off-Road Motorsports Hall of Fame community. I've been the host in years past, and I absolutely love being in Las Vegas at the South Point for the induction ceremony each and every year. So definitely, if you guys at home want to go, you're going to be in the Las Vegas area, it's worth it. Black tie evening, and all, you know, all the money goes to the Off-Road Hall of Fame as well as various charities. So good night, good time for everybody, and you should definitely be there. So we are going to take a short commercial break, and we're going to have a whole lot more when we return right here to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
Don't just shred your way through any off-road rugged terrain. Get into gear with GSP XTV and let us redefine your adventure. The GSP Advantage of quality and performance sets a standard for UTV axles. We strive to provide premium ATV and UTV axles to keep you shreddy ready. Kick up some dirt and get in the driver's seat with GSP XTV. With over 35 years of experience, drive with a company you can trust. Drive with GSP. For more information, please visit us at GSPXTV.com today.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Yeah, we got, you know, once again, a big show today. We got David Higgins coming up in the next segment. Yes, the man, the myth, the legend. He is on, and then in hour number two, we got Ron Capps as well as Tyler Hoover from Hoovy's Garage, also NASCAR Grand Marshal this weekend at Watkins Glen. So big show, big show. Yeah, I guess we got a, you know, a segment here where I get to do a little bit of whirlwind of talking on a myriad of things. And I honestly have absolutely no idea where we're going to start, other than the fact that I did tune into a stage rally this week, and I say tune in, watched online. David Higgins coming back, and this, you know, obviously a lot of you that have been following the show know that I was you know, one of the voice along with Jared DeAnda of Red Bull Global Rallycross for 2 years. And then kind of when that gig wrapped up for me, I was the voice of Rally America for 2 years. So I have put in a lot of time in stage rally and rallycross. Let's put it that way. You know, I've been an ambassador for Dirtfish for years. I have a helmet hat deal, so I stay abreast with rally. And I was a global ambassador for Subaru for, was it 2-3 years? Where I actually had an STI that they gave me to drive and, you know, and things like that. So, you know, I've been around the rally community for a very long time. And by default, I'm a stage rally fan, you know. You know, I've been fortunate to have been at some of the best North American stage rallies in the last decade. On site, I remember a couple years back, there was a big one at New England Forest Rally, which is by default kind of become one of the big ones on the rally calendar, and definitely one you want to attend. Very fan friendly, and that happened this past weekend. But there was a couple years ago where Travis Pastrana, Ken Block, David Higgins, I believe there was Ramana Lagerman was in a R5 that was brought over by M Sport from Europe. And I swear I'm missing another heavy hitter that was in that race as well. But it was basically a very big stage rally. And, it seems like there's always a few big heavy hitters that come. Been a couple years where Antoine Lestage came down from Canada in the Factory Subaru program and raced against, the Subaru United States program or Subaru Rally Team USA. Ken Block, has kind of come in, come out at times. But, it's just been really, really tough to get a full field at all these events. This year's been really fortunate that they've had four. Well, with David Higgins coming back to New England Forest Rally, that puts us at five. And it was a big, big event by stage rally standards for top caliber teams. I mean, stage rally is pretty healthy in the United States right now. It's kind of gone in ups and downs, but we're definitely on an up right now with a lot of entries, pulling 70, 80 entries at cars at most rallies. But the top tier teams, it's tough to get that many at that level. And we were fortunate to see that at New England Forest Rally this past weekend. And, when you get that, it's tough for all of them to carry a pace. I mean, it's at a crazy pace to run up front of a rally, and you're threading the needle on pretty much every corner. So at some point, you get somebody fall out. They go off and have an off and lose some time, get a flat, hit a tree, sometimes wreck. It's tough to get that many cars to do battle for a very long time. Generally, there's one or two that step away from the rest of the pack, things like that. With New England Forest Rally was a bit different this year. I mean, you had the top five that were all within seconds of each other for most of the 2 days. That is so rare. And I was following along at home, and I mean, this was nail biter. A lot of you saw my tweets. I mean, we're talking probably better competition than WRC has at the top. I mean, these guys were literally on fire. I mean, we're seeing a couple seconds separating, the top three, and maybe 7-8 seconds separating the top five. I mean, you just don't get that. And it wasn't one guy stepping out. It was all of them. They were trading, McKinnon had win one. Pastrana had win one. Block, Higgins, Siminuk. I mean, everybody was up there slicing, dicing. It was crazy. The first day, and then the second day, it was crazy to start, and then things kind of started separating. But, man, I got to tell you, it was an absolute nail-biter of a stage rally this past weekend at New England Forest Rally, and I was really, really excited for that. I hadn't been that excited over a rally in quite some time. Obviously, David Higgins walked away with a victory. And, and I got to tell you, though, it wasn't an easy one. McKinnon was leading at one point. Block was right on McKinnon's heels. Then I think Block may have inherited the lead at one point. Then Travis Pastrana did. And then Higgins was hunting him down. Siminuk was always right there around the top three. He ended up having some problems. And, man, what a rally. Dirtfish, to our partners at Dirtfish, they did an amazing job covering the rally. By the way, the segment being brought to you by our good friends at Dirtfish. Go to www.dirtfish.com. You can check out all their rally news. They do live coverage of WRC and the ARA Rally Championship here in the United States. If you're looking to go to Dirtfish and get a class, use the code JimBeaver15. That is JimBeaver15. That will get you 15% off at Dirtfish Rally School. What an amazing, amazing rally. Good time. I was a fan sitting at home, just absolutely locked. Good stuff. Congratulations to ARA. Congratulations to David Higgins. It was definitely worth sitting around your computer and watching things play out. Once again, Jim Beaver 15, dirtfish.com. That will get you 15% off any and all classes there at Dirtfish. Want to try your hand at rallying. And next up on the ARA calendar is the Ojibwe Rally coming up late August. So if you're in Minnesota, that one's a fun one to watch. You definitely should head out for that. So one of the things we haven't chimed in on the show yet so far, I know my good friend Sean Brennan with Supercross, we got him lined up in the coming weeks to come on the show and talk about the 2022 Supercross schedule. But man, oh man, do we have a schedule to talk about. Supercross is back. They are back, and they're doing things the way they used to, the way you're accustomed to. And let me tell you about this calendar here. Things kick off, yes, with the big one. Round one, Anaheim, Angel Stadium. Round one of Supercross A1 is happening. Move to Oakland. Yes, back in California. They're doing the whole California swing. Then they go down to San Diego. Then A2, Anaheim 2, round 4. Then they move to my favorite round, the beginning of September, in Glendale, Arizona, State Farm Stadium. They are going to be there doing battle with the best in the business there in Phoenix. Then you move to A3 at Anaheim. You move now to Minnesota, U.S. Bank Stadium. Beautiful facility there. Hosted X Games, obviously home of the Minnesota Vikings. They're going to move there into the dome in Minneapolis, not the Metrodome. They're moving into the U.S. Bank Stadium dome. Then they move down to Texas. This is the one I actually went to this last year at Arlington. Amazing round, beautiful place there, the home of the Dallas Cowboys. They're moving around 8 there. Then they're moving all the way across to the East Coast to one of the biggest events of the year at Daytona. Daytona International Speedway will lay host to round 9 of Supercross. The start of March, March 5th is the dates on that one. Moving up to Detroit, Michigan to Ford Field for round 10. Lucas Oil Stadium round 11. Seattle, Washington and Lumen Field there March 26th for round number 12. And then moving to St. Louis, Atlanta, Georgia at Atlanta Motor Speedway. This one was an interesting one. Run much similar to Daytona where it's a mix of outdoors and indoors at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Was very well received this year, and they're moving back to that same venue for next year. So different, a little bit different take on Supercross that we're getting at Atlanta the last 2 years. And they're moving up to the home of the Patriots, Foxborough, Massachusetts for Gillette Stadium round number 15. Denver, Colorado is there April 30th, and then rounding things out, round 17 will be in Salt Lake City, Utah, Rice-Eccles Stadium at Salt Lake, now becoming the new home of the finale for Supercross in May. We saw it last year. We saw it, and last year. And, it's become the new home of the finale of Supercross. The one glaring omission on the schedule, Las Vegas, Nevada. Who knows? Maybe a Monster Energy Cup. They're going to save that for fall there in Las Vegas. But, weird seeing Las Vegas not on the calendar. But other than that, back to normal for Supercross in 2022. And you know what? I'm a big Supercross fan. They're a big part of this show. We get riders on a lot. My good friend Sean Brennan with Supercross, it comes on from time to time, and I have to tell you, I absolutely am thrilled with this calendar. Supercross needed to get back to normal. I think we all loved the Super Tuesday rounds because on a Tuesday night, it gave us something to watch on TV that was exciting and it was live. But Supercross needed to get back to the Saturday nights, their bread and butter, and they're doing that. They're back in the stadiums across the country with fans, and 2022, I got a feeling this is going to be one of the biggest Supercross seasons in Supercross history. So, yes, we will have a ton more Supercross content as we click off the weeks and the months here on the show as we lead up to that. Obviously, outdoor motocross going on right now, and man, that's a great season as well. But we got to take a short commercial break. We come back. David Higgins going to be right here on the show. Once again, rally fans, dirtfish.com, Jim Beaver 15. That'll get you 15% off any and all classes at Dirtfish Rally School. And once again, David Higgins, when we return right here to the show on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host a Down and Dirty radio show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than and Polaris in their award-winning lineup of RZR vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a RZR 170 like me, take the entire family out in a RZR XP 4-1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new RZR XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris RZR. Check out the full Polaris RZR lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris RZR. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris RZR. I'd like to welcome my good friend David Higgins to the line. DH, big weekend for you. Back in the saddle, my friend, and you got to feel pretty good about New England Forest Rally.
Yeah, 100%, Jim. It was one of those events that when you haven't rallied for so long and you doubt yourself, and the longer you go without an event, the more doubt that creeps in. But after the first few stages, we weren't a million miles away, and then we sort of slowly brought ourselves into a fight and came away with the victory. So mega weekend. Couldn't be happier for everyone.
Well, I can tell you, I know I wanted to be on site. I had so much going on, I wasn't able to be there, but as a fan watching, you know, online, I got to say, I mean, there was 5 drivers there. You, Trav, Brandon, you know, Ken Block, and obviously we've got Barry in the WRC car. But you guys at the start were trading stage times. I mean, it was just a few seconds separating all 5 of you. I mean, I haven't seen a rally that close in the U.S. in quite some time, David. That had been exciting for you as a driver to be in a fight like that.
Yeah, brilliant. Because one thing me and Craig always said, that the ultimate pace at the front of American rallying has always been really strong. But what's let it down in the, over the years is if one guy has a problem, then it almost becomes such a big gap to the other ones. But with this rally, if you had a not such a good stage, you could go from second to fourth or second to fifth or up and down the leaderboard just with one sort of mediocre stage. And that's just like how it is in, you know, top European events. You know, the more depth you've got in the field, the better it is, but for sure the harder it makes it at the same time. But it's it was awesome to have such a battle where things were changing so quickly. It really was what rallying's all about.
Yeah, you know, and like I said, as a fan sitting home, had me excited. I mean, for you coming in, obviously, I know you said you hadn't been in the car in a while. How was that jumping into something? I mean, you're so familiar with the Subaru platform because that's all you've driven for, you know, for the last decade. How was that jumping into something that was completely different than what you've been used to?
Yeah, it was really hard because obviously over the last sort of 7 or 8 years, my pace notes have been developed over a particular car. So you were fine-tuning everything, almost like a racetrack. So every line was perfect for how that car reacted. And also the, when you were competing more and more, you sort of get in the car. And I was saying, almost feels like slow motion. You're listening to your pace notes. You feel like you've got loads of time to react, where you're getting a new car where you're not really sure what it's going to do at any point. And it can, you know, some traits of the car were better than the Subaru. And there were some places where it was more nervous than the Subaru. But it just felt like you sort of jumped in the car and hit fast forward and everything was happening much faster. But the more and more the event went on, obviously, the more we knew what to expect and the easier it was getting, and the more the sort of flow between myself and Craig was getting better and better. So it's just one of those things, when you're out of it for a while, it's hard work, but we use a lot of our experience to get to where we got to.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, here's the question. I know, you know, I've been around you for the last decade and stage rallying in the United States, and you're a little bit like Kimmy, where you're the Iceman when it comes to an event, you know, and you don't show a lot of emotion, and you know, and it's just, you're so hyper-focused. But I got to think, going into, that first pass at Concord Pond, there was probably a little bit of nerves on your end and in regards to pace and the new car. And after you left, you know, the Concord Pond the first time, you went around and did it a second time. I mean, you know, was it a little bit of a relief going, all right, we still have the pace, we're still there, we can compete at this level?
Yeah, I said to Craig before we did that, the stage, Concord Pond is very unique in America. It's just like Finland, massive big jumps, but you've got to 100% know what your car is going to do when you go into there. So we did a short 20-mile test in the car beforehand, but there was no jumps on that road, unfortunately. So the first ever jump I hit with the car was a live stage. So I said to Craig before I went, I said, we can just stay within, you know, 10-15 seconds of the top guys by the end of these two stages, and it's game on, because you're going to lose a little bit with just not 100% knowing what the car was. And we were pretty close. We were right in the fight from the start. So when I came off that one, I thought, okay, it could be game on now.
Yeah. Well, you know, and this car, I mean, talk a little bit about the differences. What kind of adjustments? I know it's at one point, you know, and I don't know the changes you guys made overnight, but I know the top speed wasn't quite there. The gearing was a little bit different in this car than what you were used to. So you're giving up a little time on the top end just because you couldn't reach those, you know, outright speeds everybody else had. But, you know, talk us through a little bit about the differences in this car, you know, and the challenges you kind of faced throughout the rally.
Yeah, the main thing, obviously, it's just a much, much smaller car. So that makes the change of direction so much better. Like on the first few stages, I would literally turn the wheel, and with the Subaru, you had to almost set the car up a little bit more and try and place, get the car turned a lot earlier for the corner, and then use momentum to take you through it. Where this thing, I'd like touched the wheel and it was like a go-kart. It just drove to the inside of the corner. So for the first few stages, I definitely found myself turning in too early, turning back out. Once you got used to it, the benefit of that quick change of direction was a real sort of plus point for the car. The high speed stuff on some of the, where the car goes over a crest, whether it's because we're lacking a little bit of downforce or a bit of setup or something, but the car always wanted to sort of lift out and move wide. So in some of the real quick stuff, it was a little bit of a handful. And the car runs much, much lower to the ground. So you're driving on the sump guards and on the diff guards a lot of the times. So you really, it sounds really harsh and it feels harsh as it's crashing through on you, but it's just the way those cars are designed to be. But the more we got used to it, the better it was. We managed to sort of persuade the engineers to give us a few more revs in top gear so we could get a little bit more top speed on the second day and just take the rev limiter a bit further up. So that obviously helped us a bit, and we were tuning the suspension a little bit as we went on, and bit by bit. So it's like when we found going onto a different compound tire or a different tire, like previously I always knew if I went to a different tire, I knew what click to do on the dampers automatically, where this we had to sort of find out a little bit later. But we definitely got there, and with a little bit more time again, I think we could improve the car a fair bit more as well. So there's plenty more to come out of the package. It's very exciting the way the car drives and reacts. It really is sort of more seat of the pants stuff, and the car sort of slides around a bit more easily. So from Craig's point of view, he said it felt like really different from his side with the note to get the notes. But the first day, I wouldn't say he didn't enjoy it, but I wouldn't say he was loving it. But by the end of the second day, he was really back into it again, and he got more used to it, because, you know, I've driven some R5 cars testing and doing things before, so I was more familiar with the smaller platform than what Craig was, but the more he got used to it as well, the sort of the better everything gelled.
Well, you know, and that's a question in regards to Craig. I mean, you and Craig have been together a long time, and I know you personally wouldn't probably want to go rallying without Craig, you know, sitting in that co-driver's seat. You know, this new car, you guys obviously have phenomenal notes from years of running these same stages, but is there any moving forward changes you guys are going to have to make to your notes and the way you take notes and, you know, with this new platform, this new car, than what you had in the past?
Yeah, we would definitely have to make some adjustments. There's certain places where the car doesn't like as much, and there's certain places where the car is a lot better. But the other thing is really like the gear ratios on the car are a little bit different. So you have to sort of like, where I found myself quite a few times going down a gear that I didn't need to go down because of the way the ratios were in the box and things. So it was just getting familiar with those type of things really. So in future I'd go there and I'd sort of, there's a certain things in my pace notes every now and again, I use the word gear on a corner just to make myself consciously stay up the gears a little bit more and things. So you'd do more of that in the future again. And obviously you'd know where you can capitalize on the car's improvements a little bit more, where I had some cautions that I would need when I was in the other car in the little Fiesta, we could just go straight over things that I couldn't with the other. So it's learning what each car's capable of to get the absolute best. And that's why, although, you know, everyone was pushing hard, I knew every stage I finished, there was never a stage of the rally where I finished where I thought, yeah, I got the absolute everything out of the package. We were always leaving a little bit on the table just through lack of experience really.
Yeah, well, and that's gonna have you excited for potential future rallies. You know, you obviously you think there's a little bit more you can get out of your and Craig's relationship, and then obviously the platform as a whole. I mean, we know you're a phenomenal guy at developing cars and platforms. I mean, this has got to have you excited that there's a little bit more left in the car as well. And I mean, walk away from New England Forest Rally knowing you left time on the table and still winning, that's got to have you pretty excited for the future.
Yeah, for sure as well. And also, even I know that rally like so much as well, you can't drive that rally 100% the whole rally and expect to finish without a problem. Like I was surprised that the five of us were still really in the hunt at the end of the first day. Normally something's gone to somebody by that point, and obviously things did start to happen later on, but it is one of those rallies where you've got to have a little bit of caution in places, because if you don't, you don't make the end. So it is a rally where you have to be, you know, you have to be a little bit smarter at times. So I think the fact that we weren't pushing absolute to the max everywhere played into our hands a little bit as well. But, you know, it would be fun to go back again now and knowing the platform better, knowing what we can do again, and plus sort of shaking some of the rust off and go have an opportunity to go again and see what we could do next time round.
Yeah, and I got to ask about the rust. You say shaking the rust off, and a lot of people go, man, you're David Higgins. Like, how much rust is there? But I know for me, when I took a step away from trophy truck for a couple of years and to drive something with that power and at that level, and I'd put a trophy truck comparable to the open-class rally cars you're driving, like, there is some you leave on the table. There is a little bit of rust. You forget, you know how hard you have to drive them and braking points, and there's just little things you pick up and you know, it takes a few miles to get that back. And I you know, how was that with this car? I mean, because, you know, people laugh when you talk about the rust, but there is a little bit to an extent.
Yeah, like since I think I started rallying in 1992, and I was like racing carts right the way up to that point, so I don't think I ever went probably more than as a guess, 3 months or 4 months maximum between not doing events since probably 1985, when I very first started karts at 10 years old. So, you know, you suddenly go that gap of time without a competition, and, you know, it's easy to just get caught up in even just remembering the routines you go through and the different things that you do before stages and how you prepare and everything beforehand and stuff. So there was a lot of things to sort of get back into it, but thankfully the determination to want to be at the front was still there, and that sort of drove us through the rest of it really.
Yeah. So before we let you go, one last question. I mean, how was it coming back? I know there was a little bit of nerves with the fan feedback. You're driving a different manufacturer's car, but everybody online that I saw just seemed thrilled that you were back. And obviously I wasn't there on site, but how was the crowds and how was the fans with David Higgins, coming back there at New England Forest Rally?
Yeah, to be honest, absolutely blew us away because we were well sort of set up for all of them. Thinking there's some, the Subaru fans would be questioning because a lot of them don't understand that, we never chose not to be in that car anymore. It was just the way circumstances happened. And, it's like you've got to try and get back out there again. I thought there'd be a few haters and people giving us some stick. And, the thing that was the best is everybody was so pleased to see us there just for the sport of rallying. And they were pleased to see us in there, whatever car we were in. And then when we sort of got there, I was a little bit nervous thinking, I wonder how the Subaru boys, people that have been my family and team for sort of almost 10 years. And, every single one of the guys came up and shook our hand and said, we're glad to see you here and go and give it to them. And they were genuinely pleased and happy that we were there, especially sort of Lance and Chris Yandell and the bosses and things. So it was as soon as you sort of knew you had their support as well, it made it a lot easier, really.
Well, that's got to be exciting for you, and I know definitely looking forward to the future. Same time you're racing here, I know Matthew has been doing a lot of karting in the UK. How's Matthew's season going right now, David?
Yeah, the British Championship's going pretty well. We had a few unfortunate things with races being stopped because of weird conditions that set us back a little bit. But it's his first year in the senior. Then last, while I was competing the weekend, he was doing the British Kart Grand Prix and was at the front in both classes all weekend long. In the final of the Rotax, he went into the lead on the last but one lap and had sort of paced the race perfect. But unfortunately, the lad that he just passed decided he didn't want to be overtaken and just drove straight into the side of Matt and took him out and wrecked his kart and his chances of the win. And then unfortunately, the next race in the other class, the same lad was doing the same race and then went out on purpose and took us out in that one and wrecked another one. So it was just real horrible way to end from what should have been a brilliant weekend. But he's pleased that he was at the front and everything, and he was at the front and in contention all the time, because we know that was racing, you need that little bit of luck as well. But I think his spirits are still right up there. We've just come back now, got everything all ready to go again, and we're going testing again on Thursday in preparation for the next British round. So it's pretty much non-stop, really.
Well, it definitely sounds like it, David, but we got to take a short commercial break here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
From the 2018 Master Distillers of the Year comes a bold new American whiskey in Fistful of Bourbon. Their whiskeys have been award-winning for generations. Now they're going all in on bourbon, blending five straight whiskeys to create a big, balanced bourbon that stands apart from everything else. So grab yourself a Fistful of Bourbon, blend of five bourbons created with over 100 years of whiskey blending experience. It ain't just a bourbon, it's a damn fistful. Please enjoy responsibly.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90 degree flood to a 15 degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Man, was that an hour one or what? Right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Let me tell you, though, if you thought hour number one was good, hour number two is going to get even better. Yes, that is right. It's going to get better. I'm going out on a limb. I'm going to say it. We got Ron Capps, Napa Ron, NHRA legend, winner this past weekend at the Winter Nats, a.k.a. the Summer Nats. It's a long story, and we're going to get into that with Ron Capps. And we've also got, if you are a YouTube car fan, you know the name Tyler Hoover with Hoovy's Garage. He is the Grand Marshal of the NASCAR race at Watkins Glen this weekend. He's going to be on the show talking some cars and fun and a whole lot more. So big hour number two lined up. You got any guest questions that you want answered on the show? hit me up at JimBeaver15 on the Twitter machine. Instagram DMs, I might check those as well, but Twitter's going to be the best way to get a hold of me, at JimBeaver15. Hit me up on Facebook during the show. Yeah, that's not going to get checked, so just putting it out there. But yeah, looking forward to those questions, looking forward to the guests, and don't forget, once again, if you want to try your hand at rallying, head over to dirtfish.com and use that coupon code JimBeaver15. JimBeaver15 is going to get you 15% off any and all classes at Dirtfish Rally School. JimBeaver15, dirtfish.com. Yes, they will get you lock loaded, and it's going to be a whole lot of fun when you get up there. So with that being said, it's time to tap out on hour number one, and we're going to tap into hour number two when we return right here to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Get some fistful of bourbon and rejoin us after this break.
Want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story. For 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your anywhere. Born from competition, the Grabber Tire offers the durability and off-road traction you demand in a tire. We put these tires to the test in the harshest off-road racing conditions to give you a tire that will make your anywhere possible. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us photos at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online, in syndication on networks across the U.S., and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
All right, welcome to hour number two here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Ron Capps and Tyler Hoover of Hoovy's Garage on tap for here for hour number two. You know, it's funny, I put it out there every once in a while, and I had somebody ping me back, our good friend Pleasant Cook, who, you know, her is last week's guest on the show. I'm looking for things to do at Sturgis. Obviously, I'm going to be there. I got lots to do. But if there's any food, any fun, any cool places, like, man, I'd like to know, right? So hit me up. So Pleasant hit me up. There is a food truck, I guess, that has been ranked the best food truck in all of Sturgis called Sweeto Burrito. And she says, you got to try Sweeto Burrito. It's insane. So I guess I'm headed to Sturgis to try Sweeto Burrito. I'm kind of, I don't know, sweet burritos. There's got to be more to this. But if it's got ranked best in Sturgis, I got to tell you, I know where some darn good tacos are at King of the Hammers. Yes, go out to the middle of the desert in Johnson Valley and find the best tacos of your life. Yep, and pizza. It can happen. So I'm not putting burritos in South Dakota at Sturgis out of the question. So looking forward to trying those. But if you know of anything at Sturgis that I got to try, I need to experience, whether it be locations, concerts, bars, food, like, you tell me. I am going in with an open mind to Sturgis, and I want to try some of the best food and drinks and experiences known to man. So let me know Hit me up at JimBeaver15 and give me those comments, because Sweeto Burrito, that's on the list right now, and I need to add to that list since I'm going to be back there for a few days with my good friends at Fistful of Bourbon. Once again, they are a great partner in the show, but I am going to be on site with them, with a bourbon company at Sturgis. Like, could life get any better? I don't know. That's pretty fun. But you should definitely try out Fistful of Bourbon if you hadn't. If you're a whiskey drinker, man, this stuff is solid, solid gold. And it is worth the price of the bottle. And let me tell you, it's pretty affordable by bourbon standards for what you get for that price. Man, it is on point. So we're going to take a short commercial break here and really get into hour number two. We got Ron Capps coming up after the break. And then after Ron Capps, it is going to be Tyler Hoover with Hoovy's Garage. So big slam pack stacked hour number two right here on the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Hang tight.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com, or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
From the 2018 Master Distillers of the Year comes a bold new American whiskey in Fistful of Bourbon. Their whiskeys have been award-winning for generations. Now they're going all in on bourbon, blending five straight whiskeys to create a big, balanced bourbon that stands apart from everything else. So grab yourself a Fistful of Bourbon, a blend of five bourbons created with over 100 years of whiskey blending experience. It ain't just a bourbon, it's a damn fistful. Please enjoy responsibly.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for 15% discount.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next cat-back exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome my good friend Ron Capps to the line. And Ron, I got to ask you, man, how was the Winter Nats in August? Or I guess, end of July, August. But it was a warm one for a Winter Nats, huh?
Yeah. Jim, it was probably the most adverse conditions we've had in maybe even as long as I've been driving Funny Car, which has been a while. It was... You know, obviously COVID made us change the Winter Nationals to July. And with that being said, they made it to Summer Nationals, but it was still had that feeling of being in Pomona. So it was hot. It was tricky. Track conditions were, you know, very hard to adapt to for crew chiefs and drivers. And we saw track temperatures upwards of 150 degrees. So you're trying to get that 11,000 horsepower to stick to the rubber on the track. And it's a legendary track as it is. It's not easy. So it felt like winning that race, you felt like you win a couple races at the same time.
Well, and I know that that was kind of my question. It's like, you know, Winter Nats is always running Pomona because of where it's at. You know, it's not a place you don't want to go visit Pomona in the middle of the summer. I mean, it's just not a place you want to visit. You know, most people kind of go along the beaches, things like that. So I kind of knew this was going to be warm. But, you know, all your guys' setup data, you guys have stuff for years there, you know, for that track. But, I mean, a lot of it, I got to think, was kind of out the window with this one, right?
Yeah, you know. For the gearheads listening to your show, I mean, you have these new things that you try. You know, within a year or so, we've had a little better maybe ignition, a little better coils, a little, you know, cylinder heads might be just a little bit different. Superchargers might be making a little bit better boost. Little things that you can't necessarily go back to a year ago or 2 years ago to a track that was hot. Let's say Norwalk, Ohio, maybe that it was maybe 130-something degree track. You can sort of use some of that data, but things have changed and evolved as they do in every motorsport. You got new parts and pieces. So our crew chiefs go back and they do look at that data and they do see what they did before. And they can sort of take a little bit of it. The good ones, I should say, can do that and use that data. But we were sort of in deep waters because we didn't have the heat in any of the data we had in the previous years to even look back at. So, I brag about the Napa know-how of my guys, and they definitely proved it this weekend because every run we were at least a tenth ahead of everybody. And that's, you know, when you say that in drag racing, that's some pretty quality cars. So it was, it felt good at the end of the day to look back and see how dominant it was.
Yeah. How is you as a driver? Because I know, like, I've got Vegas Torino coming up here in 2 weeks, and I have to prepare for that race because it's so hot. It's in the Nevada desert in the middle of August, and I have to prepare differently. You know, I take IVs beforehand because of the heat. And you guys, I mean, you know, I run a three-layer suit. Your guys' suits are, you know, your impact suits are even thicker than that, you know, and you guys are completely closed, enclosed cockpit. I mean, do you have to, something like that, how does your body adjust, Ron? Because, I mean, I know you're not in the car for a super long time, but you just sit there and got to be roasting on the start line.
Jim, it's a perfect balance of oats and barleys. And some cardio. So, it's funny. I don't, I'm getting up there in age a little bit compared to some of these new kids. We saw that Justin Ashley had to get out of his car and gave my teammate a single round of final because he had a heat, condition and was passed out in the car, I guess. So, you know, over the years, you've watched these NASCAR drivers go into this complete fitness craziness, Casey Kane and Jimmy Johnson and guys like that. And then you see that these same athletes sometimes have problems when it gets to be extreme as far as the heat and stuff. So yeah, I do. I stay in great shape and I try to treat it like I'm an athlete, and race weekends definitely stay a lot of Pedialyte. If I could get an IV, I would, but it's just, I try to just make sure I concentrate on being the best I can be when it's time. You know, once a race starts, it's early breakfast, small breakfast, and then it's between runs. Unlike you guys, we have this up and down sort of, you get ready, you get motivated to go make a run, and then all of a sudden you got to kind of relax in between runs, and then you go do it again. You got to do that four times on Sunday. So you got to balance that. So I'll do protein bars with very low glycemic and just try to not eat too much. And, man, I don't know. I'm not crazy fitness wise. So I don't know what to tell you there, but, I think, maybe the good beers during the week, get my system.
I would you.
It made me feel like a funny car driver, right?
Yeah. I will say I've had some of the fitness people, tell me, they're like, you eat right, you kind of get ready, and they're like, then you go and drink beer and whiskey in the evening or something. And they're like, you kind of totally defeat the purpose. I'm like, yeah, but I can't change that part of my life. Like, that's how I wind down, is having a beer every evening or something. So I'm like, yeah, to me, there's a give and take.
When I came in, when I came into the sport, you got to remember John Forrest was dominating, right? He wasn't joking in his interviews when he said it was coffee and donuts. That's what he did. And I was like, okay, I was an athlete, but looking at that, the guy's the most dominant racer ever in funny car. There's got to be something to it, right? So I took a little bit of that and maybe a little bit of what I knew and put them together.
Yeah. Well, and I find it funny, too, because we talk about that, and they go one of the most dominating, you know, NASCAR drivers the last 20 years. I know you were there, you know, Tony Stewart was there with Leah, but I look at Tony and go, you know, he wasn't exactly a guy that was on the treadmill every single day or doing cardio, you know, every single day. And I'm like, it worked out for Tony, so maybe there's something to say there, you know?
No, that's exactly right. And look at him now. I mean, Leah's got him in tip-top shape, yeah. And he's looking good. Hanging out, and he's a whole new man.
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about the race in general, because you talked about that and being consistent over the weekend. But I got to say, Rahan, if you had to pick a bracket, you may have picked the toughest one. I mean, you had to go through guys that are now sitting second and third in points in Task and John Force, and then you got J.R. Todd in the final. I mean, you want to talk about a tough one for you. you had your work cut out for you there.
Well, it's funny and it's not funny, but every time we seem to have Murderer's Row when we look at the Sunday morning ladder, that's when we always end up doing well. I mean, you'd love to have, well, and I never say it, but you'd love to have some easy rounds, right? But if you think that and you say that, then these guys are going to take offense. Even the part-timers, like the kid we raced first round, Bob Bodie, I mean, they ran right next to us. If I made a mistake or a car smoked the tires a little bit, they were going to beat us. So, yeah, you're right. From then on, it was championship caliber teams, and we just seemed to, when that stuff's thrown at us, we seem to have a better day, believe it or not. So, you know, every round, when you said the points leader task a second round, that was huge, right? You get through that, and you take a breath, you turn around, look at the ladder, and guess what? John Forrest, semifinals. And you're like, okay, well, this is going to be a huge matchup. He's right in front of us in points, and he's John Forrest. Get by him, and then it's J.R. Todd, you know, world champion, car running great, knows how to drive, and, you know, like you said, it's just one after another. So that also, compared to, like you said, with the conditions, that just, man, it just made that win that much sweeter.
Yeah, well, and, you know, I know win number 67, man. I mean, I looked at that stat. I had to actually look it up. I was like, I was like, Ron Capps has got a lot of wins at this point, and it's been a while since we've talked, and I looked it up and went, 67 wins, man. You ever look back at your career and go, wow, that, you know, I know you're in the middle of it, and sometimes you don't sit back and kind of look at what you've done, but 67 wins, Ron, I mean, you're up in elite company there, buddy.
Dude, I didn't think I would have one NHRA trophy or win. Seriously, I just dreamed about driving, you know, when I was a crew member. You know, you get one or two and you're like, okay, I could be fine retiring. And then, you know, you have these stats of, okay, you passed Don Prudhomme, you passed Joe Amato. They start naming all this stuff off when it happens, and it blows me away that my name's even listed like that. And that number 67, it seems so far out of reach. You know, even when I was Larry Dixon's teammate, he had tons of wins. And I looked at that at the time, and I was like, wow, man, I can't even imagine having that many wins. And now here I am. So, yeah, it's crazy. You know how it is. You get so into what you're doing when you're actually racing, you don't stop and put your head up and look around because you feel like you're going to lose a step to the competition. But it's fun to have the documented stuff and have guys like you say that. You know, it's a reminder of just how cool it's been, how good of people I've had around me.
All right, Ron, well, we are going to come back with more with you. We are definitely not done talking here, trust me. I got a lot more questions to ask you, but we're up against a time break for this segment, so we are going to take a short commercial break right here on the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. And when we come back, Ron Capps will be on the other side, still with us, with a whole lot more to come.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90 degree flood to a 15 degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode,
beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
Don't just shred your way through any off-road rugged terrain. Get into gear with GSP XTV and let us redefine your adventure. The GSP Advantage of quality and performance sets a standard for UTV axles. We strive to provide premium ATV and UTV axles to keep you shreddy ready. Kick up some dirt and get in the driver's seat with GSP XTV. With over 35 years of experience, drive with a company you can trust. Drive with GSP. For more information, please visit us at gspxtv.com today.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back to the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver here, and we're one segment in this interview with my good friend Ron Capps, who's standing by. Well, Ron, in the near term, I mean, obviously, you know, you knocked out Task and you knocked out Force. That puts you now, I believe, with a five-point lead, you know, in the point standings. And obviously you got Force and Task kind of right there. But, you know, looking at that, I mean, obviously it seems like the team, I know DSR as a whole, you guys have been on fire lately. Obviously you shared wins with Leah this weekend. We've had AB with a win recently, you know, and Hagen taking a win as well. I feel like, you know, you as a whole are hitting your stride. I think DSR is hitting your stride. And I mean, I guess if there was a time to get hot, it would be about right now, right?
Yeah, and, you know, I almost felt like I was jinxing our team because I kept saying, okay, a win's coming. And, you know, this is a brand-new team for me this year. My longtime crew chief retired in January, and I was put together with what was Jack Beckman's old team. Great guys, it just felt right. But we've lost some close races, and I knew we got a great car. I mean, we've had four number one qualifiers, and I don't think I've had four number one qualifiers in the last 4 years, maybe, with my old crew chief. He was more of a race day kind of guy, and he didn't go up there and grab the pole like Guido, my crew chief now, and John Medlin. So, yeah, it's been different, but I kept saying, man, I know this car. It's a great car. It's going to come. But then it didn't, you know, and I'm like, maybe I should shut up and not say that until it happens. But lo and behold, it, you know, finally did. So, yeah, I think this is perfect timing. We're coming to what I consider some of my funnest races, and Kansas and Brainerd, Minnesota, and then roll into Indy, and then boom, our playoff starts. So yeah, we are, I think, hitting at the right time.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny you kind of talk about that. You knew you had a good car. And, you know, the thing that blows my mind about NHRA, and IndyCar's close and NASCAR's close, but NHRA, I mean, we're dealing with, you know, thousandths of a second and millimeters and things like that. It's just, to me, like the closest. You can have a good car, but it doesn't mean you're going to, you know, be in the winner, you know, taking home the Wally at the end of the weekend. Like, to me, that's what's so amazing about NHRA. And I think sometimes the fans at home, you know, it's amazing to watch on TV, but being there and then actually looking at what the teams are doing behind the scenes, things like that, it's just, to me, it's mind-blowing the tolerances and how close everything actually is, Ron.
Yeah, and, you know, I have some – it's hard to make a comparison, but I look at it like a great chef. You can give somebody – you could pull 10 chefs and say, all right, we're going to have you all make a soup, the best soup in the world to you. And they're all going to grab their ingredients that are given to them, and they are all going to make their soup a little bit different. And you're going to go down the line, you're going to go, holy cow, that's good. And then you go to the next one, you go, man, that's good too, right? So you have these 10 crew chiefs with – these parts to make 11,000 horsepower, you know, 18 gallons of nitromethane to pour in the tank. And it's amazing that we can all go up there and go 330 miles per hour and be within a tenth or a thousandth of each other with completely different ways that they tune that race car. And they are all different. You might have two guys next to each other, the same parts, but they all approach it differently. And that's the way I kind of look at it. And it's an amazing thing. They are truly rocket scientists, I believe. You know, these guys make this much horsepower. And how do you get these Goodyear tires to stick to a track that's 150 degrees and go 0 to 300 miles per hour? Just is mind-boggling, especially when you're hanging on to the steering wheel. It's crazy. So, yeah, it's what makes our sport so great. And, again, this kid I raced first round, he's going to college right now, Bob Bodie. And he gets to go on weekends and drive a nitro funny car for his dad. And I get out of the car after beating him, and he goes, dude, I didn't sleep last night. I'm racing Ron Capps. And I go, are you kidding me? I was nervous that you were going to beat me. Like, So, yeah, it's what makes our sport so great.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, too, because I tell everybody this. I'm like, you can watch on TV. You can follow everybody on social media. I love NHRA because it's got some of the best personalities in all of motorsports. I love the personalities around the NHRA. And I'm like, you can see that on TV. But I'm like, if you actually get somebody physically to an NHRA event and the atmosphere and the fact that they can go up, they can meet Ron Capps. You're not, you know, you're not hiding behind, you know, a bunch of ropes and things like that. And people got to line up at a certain time and buy tickets to meet you. You know, they walk up and meet you, but the experience of a Top Fuel or a Funny Car and that hit to the chest and your eyes are burning and your lungs are burning. And I mean, there's just something about that I haven't ever seen one person go to an NHRA event and went, man, that sucks. I didn't like that. Like, it's like, when do we get to do this again? You know? And I feel like that's the greatest thing about NHRA is you don't get that experience in any other motorsport.
No, man, you're so right. And then once somebody has seen it live and then they watch it on TV, it's a different deal. You know, it really, you look at it differently. And that's why I love having all my hero rock stars, people that I look up to, and I love their music, and I go to their concerts, and then you have them out and sort of give them a taste of being next to the stage at a Metallica concert or something. Yeah. And it's hilarious because it's sort of the same thing. Like this weekend we had the Lawrence kids, supercross, motocross riders, yeah. Right? These kids are fearless, Hunter and Jet, and here they are standing at the starting line, just blown away, and that's all they've talked about since then. And these are kids flying, you know, 50 feet through the air at a supercross track, and so that was fun to turn them on to something really cool for the weekend and have them stand behind the nitro car and get a dose of nitro and eyes water and all that cool stuff.
Yeah, that's what I've always told everybody. If you ever get the opportunity to stand on the water box for Funny Car or for Top Fuel, I'm like, it will change your life. And I mean that in a good way. Like, it's just the most I can't even explain the sensations you get, you know, through your body. Like, it's just, it's crazy. It's otherworldly almost, you know?
Yep, absolutely.
So, well, Ron, it is always fun catching up, my friend. We are just about up against the time break, but before we do, want to ask, I know you spent a lot of time on the iRacing service, obviously NHRA back in full swing, but you've been playing on the sim at all lately?
Yeah, I've been doing this Monday night thing with a whole bunch of NASCAR drivers and some TV people, and, you know, it's different cars, different tracks every week. So that's been fun to look forward to on a Monday night. I'm kind of waiting for you to get us back in the off-road trucks, man. That was one of the funnest series that we've done through COVID, was getting in those things and battling some of the best in the world. And I get on as often. Now the season's going, it's a little less, but I still love getting home and sitting on the sim and hopping in and racing with all the other racers.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I feel like COVID and the whole pandemic, if there was any good that came out of it, I think the sim racing community definitely grew. And I know we got another event coming up later this month. I was actually going to email you on, but yeah, I mean, I can't believe our events. I think we've got maybe TV lined up for all three of our events next year. But, you know, that being said, like, just the whole sim racing community as a whole, I feel like so many people went to iRacing when this was going on because we couldn't, you know, race our regular race vehicles and tracks were closed, things like that. And I think it's been so good for the iRacing community. You've been a part of the community for a very long time, but, you know, to be able to bring in these other personalities from other motorsports and just have them there and, you know, expose people, the community that, you know, you and many others have slowly helped build over the last decade, it's been pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I was there at the inception. I was one of the beta testers for iRacing, so watching it grow and then, you know, there's a lot going on through COVID, a lot of, you know, just hard to get through, but I got to tell you, I mean, it probably saved my life. My wife says that all the time. To wake up in the morning and have a race that I had to go practice for because it was going to air on TV later, It helped me, because here we were locked down. There was no racing going on. So, I mean, it was just a lifesaver for me to be able to go out and do that. And we almost had 1 million viewers on the first couple of TV races. So it was nuts that here we were racing and people were tuning in TV to watch us race online in virtual cars. So, you know, I was very happy for iRacing, but it was very cool for our fans at least to have something to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was good for not only the racers but the fans as well, and it gave everybody something to look forward to, and it's about all you can ask. But I got to tell you, I am definitely looking forward to the remainder of the NHRA calendar, my friend, leading the points. You know, it's going to be fun to watch this one play out in Funny Car.
yeah, you know, our boy Antron Brown, they're hitting their stride. I think it's going to be, hopefully, we can get DSR and Don Schumacher up to the top here before the season's over.
Yep. Well, Ron, it has been fun catching up, and we'll definitely chat soon, buddy.
You got it, man. Thanks.
And it is never a bad day when you've got Ron Capps on your show. I, you know, honestly, looking through the stats on how many wins he's got in NHRA, you know, he's a humble guy. And I really, really enjoy Ron as a person, as a racer, what he brings to the table. He's funny. He does a great job on social media. I mean, a phenomenal job on social media. He cracks me up a lot of times. I know him and Antron Brown have a ton of fun. But, you know, he's in elite company, you know, and you get him. We got him to talk a little bit about it, and that's because he's that humble of a guy. But, you know, you want to talk about one of the all-time greats. I mean, you just heard him on the show. Ron Capps, he is there. He is on the short list in the NHRA as far as all-time greats go, as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, that's definitely saying something. But a guy like him, that's case in point why NHRA is killing it. And I say this a lot, and I mean this. And I look at motorsports as a whole. I watch all kinds of motorsports, just about any kind of motorsport there is. And I will say, and I truly mean this, that the NHRA has the best personalities in the world of motorsports as a whole. I mean, you look at guys like Ron Capps, Antron Brown, Steve Torrence, John Force. I mean, the list goes on. I mean, you know, Leah Pruitt, you know, the Force girls, like the personalities, the people you get, the emotion, the passion. I mean, NHRA is like WWE pro wrestling. I mean, and I mean that in the best possible way. But you have these larger than life personalities and personas. And I guess it probably takes somebody like that to drive a car 330 miles an hour. I mean, me, I love racing. Do I want to go 330 miles an hour? Not unless it's in an airplane. Like, being honest with you, I got no interest in going that fast. So I think it takes a special kind of special to go that fast. And NHRA, they just kill it. Love Ron Capps. And I love sharing those stories with you guys. But that being said, we got to take a short break. We come back. It is Tyler Hoover right here. When we return to the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome my next guest, a guy who probably needs no introduction, Tyler Hoover from Hoovy's Garage. Man, Tyler, welcome to the show, buddy.
Thank you very much. I'm not sure, unless you're a weird person that watches a lot of YouTube, may not be that well known.
Well, I don't know. There's something magic what YouTube's got. I kind of feel like there's two big thresholds on YouTube, right? The 100,000 mark and then the million mark. And I feel like you've hit the million mark. So I don't know. I'd say it's a pretty decent accomplishment.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you definitely, it's a little easier to get that 100,000 mark, but you kind of have to claw your way up to the million. But there's always somebody bigger for sure.
Yeah, for sure. But I know this is, you know, a lot coming up for you. Obviously, I want to jump into talking about YouTube. Part of the reason we've got you on the show, I guess we'll get the formalities out of the way. But this weekend, man, big deal. Watkins Glen, you are the grand marshal for the Gold Bowling at the Glen NASCAR race this weekend. And this is always one of my favorites because it's one of the, you know, handful of road courses on the NASCAR schedule. But you got to be pretty excited to head out to the Glen.
Oh, for sure. I was kind of confused. I was wondering if they got Tyler Hoover's mixed up or something when they invited me. But yeah, super historic track, of course. You know, that's you know, really exciting action that I've watched on television over the years, but I've never been to in person. And then to be grand marshal of it, it's just an awesome opportunity for sure to start at the go bowling at the Glen. You know, at the Glen, it's just a dream come true, really.
Yeah, well, I know it's got this is, it's funny because NASCAR fans, I feel like this is, there's some of the races throughout the year kind of people tune out, and then there's ones that bring them back in, and this is definitely one that brings it back in. So I got to say, if you're going to be at the Grand Marshal at one of the races, this is definitely, I would say, on the short list of ones you definitely want to do. And I don't know, this time, you know, up where it's located there in the Northeast, weather's pretty darn good about this time of year, especially compared to where I'm at here in the Southwest. So definitely should be a fun weekend for you.
Yeah, same here. It's definitely a hot mess. But, yeah, you know, they make fun of NASCAR drivers for just going fast and turning left. But you really see in tracks like these the driver talent that these guys have. And, yeah, very, very fun to watch.
Yeah. Well, let's jump into talking a little bit about, you know, your YouTube channel and kind of your background. I guess, first off, how did this whole thing, Hoovy's Garage, get started? I know you call it the dumbest automotive channel on YouTube, which I know that's some tongue-in-cheek humor, because I really enjoy the channel because you're doing stuff not a lot of people are doing. But how did you kind of go down this rabbit hole? And trust me, man, I get it. I've been around cars my entire life. I mean, obviously, I got a radio show that we talk racing and cars, and I race myself, and I know the rabbit hole you're down, dude, and it's deep. But how did you get down this path? Let's put it that way.
Well, it's kind of a guide of what not to do. So I would buy something, you know, you see a cheap car for sale online, say it's a heavily depreciated Bentley for $10,000, and you think, well, that's cheaper than a used Camry. I should buy that. And, you know, most people are smart enough to avoid that kind of stuff. I'm not. I buy it. And then people get to see vicariously how big of a disaster it is to, say, buy a Bentley Azure that was originally owned by Jean-Claude Van Damme for next to nothing. You know, it was originally $300,000 new. And then the disaster mechanically it takes to go through and sort these things out and keep them running. And it's just kind of a wash, rinse, and repeat thing. That seems to be what people like.
Yeah, and it's funny because I feel like I kind of do a bit of the same, but not at the level you do. But I feel like guys like us, like, we grew up looking at these certain cars, you know, certain eras. And, man, that was like the dream car. And, like, I laugh because you got you've got a Countach. And every kid in the world at some point had a Countach poster on their wall. Like, that's just a given. Like,
right.
You know, I think every kid had one. But, I we have these cars that you look at or you go, oh, that's awesome. And now you get to a point where you can kind of afford them. And you couldn't afford them new, but it's like you can buy the used version that, like you said, is 5, 10, 15 grand. And I feel like, so we start buying up our childhood and all these dream cars and things like that we had as kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the Countach was definitely a stretch of the budget. And it was, you know, two on the same day, but neither of the cars had really moved in years. I think the Countach had been driven 150 miles in 7 or 8 years. So then you're driving at home and the tires feel like they're concrete blocks and all that stuff. So, you know, most people don't drive and enjoy those kind of exotic cars. They're kind of just things that sit and look pretty in people's garages. So actually using them is something I really try and do, and you know, give viewers the experience of what's it like when you drive a Countach 1,000 miles or something like that, which I'm actually about to do in California.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. And here's the question. I mean, it's one of those, or it's kind of funny because you look at, I had this conversation on air a while back, but, you know, you look at like the era of like the muscle cars in the 60s and things like that, and the horsepower and the torque. And then you look at some of these modern cars that are just, you know, grocery getters, and literally some of the performance stats are the same. But a Countach, how well does it hold up now? Because, I mean, in that era, it was massive. I mean, that and the Testarossa, I think, were about, you know, the two hot tickets. But how does it stand up today?
Yeah, the 0-60 is something like 5 seconds on it, which a minivan can do that nowadays. But, you know, that's not really what it's all about. It's, you know, the feeling of that. You know, nowadays you have all these computers controlling everything, yeah, versus having that gated shifter with that very mechanical feeling when you shift gears, and a naturally aspirated V12, which is another thing that's going away for, you know, smaller V8s and hybrid platforms and all that stuff. You know, just experiencing that raw power is definitely a rush. And I tend to like the older cars because, say, you know, like this Countach, I can run it through all the gears, get up on the highway, hear the, you know, full red line, the V12 singing, and not be going at a speed that's going to send you directly to jail, unlike a modern Lamborghini where, you know, you'd be going 100 miles an hour in 3 seconds and, you know, and you're doing something dangerous.
Yeah. You know, and one of the keys there that you said is the gated shifter. And I laugh because it's like, I like performance cars and I like stick shifts and I get paddle shifters, you know, and these new gearboxes are so much quicker than actually shifting gears with a clutch, things like that. But I'm like, you know, like I would rather something take me half a second more and have that enjoyment of shifting gears and things like that, because I'm not taking one of these cars to the track and going to race it. So to me, a half second doesn't matter. There's like enjoyment out of shifting, you know, shifting through the gears. Like you mentioned that gate shifter, you know, and, you know, I feel like some of these modern cars that I've driven, like it just kind of loses it with the automatic, you know, shifting and no, you know, no physical shifter clutch. Like, I don't know. What's your feelings on that?
Oh, I completely agree, and it's why you're starting to see these last generation of manual cars, especially the exotics, just skyrocket in value. For example, like a Ferrari F430, which was the last gated manual mid-engine Ferrari. A gated manual one's worth $250,000 now, whereas you could pick up a, you know, flappy paddle one for $100,000 or maybe a little less if it has some miles on it. So you're starting to see a delta where enthusiasts are starting to recognize how important this period of history was and how we're kind of reaching the end of it. So, you know, people wanting to get into the collector car hobby, you know, a car like that with still having the manual transmission may be the one to grab and hold on to for a long time.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I really like about your channel, and there's a, you know, and I know, like, is I feel like part of it is a glimpse into automotive history to an extent. You know, you're not dealing with new cars that just came out in the last year or two, like a lot of channels and things like that. Like you're going and you're taking daily drivers off the street that were, you know, that are era specific. I mean, obviously, I know, you know, recently you've been, you know, you had the Hummers and those, you know, the, you know, that episode where you went and found, you know, the you know, a bunch of Hummers and, you know, in the barn. And I'm looking back though, like I look at the conversion van, the Chevy conversion van, and like that one, I had a buddy in high school that his parents had one and they passed it down to him in high school. And we had more fun driving around in that stupid conversion van when we were in high school. You know what I mean? And you could load so many people in there and it had the fridge and it had the TV that, you know, didn't work, right. But it was like, I just laugh because I can, like, I don't know, I just love how your show is like, it just packages all this automotive history from the last few decades.
Yeah, I mean, I have, you know, a lot of memories of conversion vans too. Of course, my parents had one, friends. I mean, that was what you had. If you were cool parents, you had conversion vans. Yeah. And you know, it's just like, you know, going to the bowling alley with a, you know, a van full of kids, that kind of stuff. But what I didn't realize buying one all these years later, they have that negative connotation where they're kind of creepy to some people. So I'd be going to pick up my kid at school and I'm seeing a lot of sideways glances thinking, you know, I'm going to be handed out candy or something and grabbing all their kids. So I didn't keep the van for that reason, but I did buy a modern one, a 2016 equivalent, but there's the yin and the yang of that, of course.
Yeah, and I feel like they've come back to an extent, but they've dressed them up. You know, Ford's got their big transit vans. I know Mercedes has got their vans. Like, I feel like vans have made a comeback, but they've kind of polished the look of them so they don't look like the creepy van like you were talking about, you know. And that being said, the guy in high school, he didn't get many dates because the girls were freaked out by the van.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, well, my 2016's my primary tow vehicle for track days and bringing cars home and all that stuff. And it's also 9 passengers, so I can, you know, I can haul people. It's very versatile for sure.
Yeah. So when you're looking to when you're looking to buy some, are you necessarily looking, or is it something like, I'm sure you're all over the internet looking at, you know, listings, things like that. What blips your radar? I mean, I'm sure you get a lot of emails and people reach out to you, things like that, with interesting stuff. But I mean, what is it that gets you to go like, okay, I need to buy this?
Yeah, part of it's a bucket list, me working through and, you know, cars I've always wanted that are kind of underappreciated. The other half is just to go through, and it seems to, I do really well when I just completely roast a car. You know, just something. My easy one to go to is BMWs and their engineering, and there's just so many silly, stupid things that they did that are just fatal flaws in their engines, transmissions, whatever, and just going through and showing all that, poking fun at it. And then at the end, once you sort the car out, finding some redeeming qualities. You can see why people are willing to just throw all kinds of illogical amounts of money at these cars, you know, at the end. that seems to be, you know, what drives my content for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, we've got a couple minutes left, but obviously, you know, we've got the NASCAR race this weekend, but what else is coming up for you? I mean, what are we going to be able to see on the channel here, you know, in the coming weeks and months? What do you have up your sleeve that you can actually tell us about?
Yeah, it's going to be a Hummer project. We're going to be digging into this Hummer that is pretty nice on the outside, but crusty underneath. And then from there, we start production of my TV show on Motor Trend called Car Issues. And also another series that I do called Car Trek is going to be airing pretty soon. It's a web series where we actually got to go back and buy our very first cars that we bought with our own money. So we started with our dream cars, which were, for me, I bought a Mercedes SLS AMG, which is the gullwing big V8 kind of supercar that Mercedes made about 10 years ago. Then they take them away from us, and we have $3,000 to go buy our first cars. And my first car that I bought with my own money was a Mercedes diesel, 120 horsepower. So it was quite a dynamic there. But yeah, coming up this weekend, definitely really exciting to do the gold bowling at the Glen. And yeah, there's a lot coming up.
Yeah, they're gonna you know, I know you know, obviously I'm sure you're gonna get a chance to go around the track and things like that. Anything exciting lined up? I know once in a while they'll have you know, some two-seaters, things like that. You get to take a, you know, chance to go for a ride in. Anything exciting lined up like that where they're actually gonna get you up to speed and some things?
You know, GoBowling.com actually has a bowling pin vehicle that's shaped like a bowling pin. It's you know, they take it around to various places for promotion and all that stuff. You know, August 14th is their National Bowling Day, so they'll have it around at different places. But I guess they're going to try and get me out on the track in that. It kind of looks like a little bit of a dragster. I imagine I won't be able to get too much speed, but it has a V8 in it. So I'm kind of interested to see what that's like.
Yeah, that might be one of the most interesting vehicles and unusual vehicles you've ever driven, I guess, right?
Right, yeah, for sure.
Well, Tyler, it has been fun catching up. I know we'll be tuned in to Go Bowling at the Glen this weekend. Congratulations on being the Grand Marshal of that. And, you know, we'll definitely, you know, look forward to what you're dropping on YouTube.
All right. Thanks a lot. Pleasure talking to you.
And great catching up with Tyler. And we will be back right after this break here on the General Tire Down to Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back here to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. And yeah, time to wrap things up here. Big thanks to Tyler Hoover, Ron Capps, David Higgins. Man, star-studded cast today of guests. Thanks to all you listeners for tuning in, whether you're tuning in on Sports Byline, the U.S. American Forces Network, SiriusXM, Podcast One, Spotify, our website, Apple Podcasts. Please go over there and hit the subscribe button, rate and review. Thank you guys. Continue to keep us in business. Keep us doing radio right here. Give me a follow at JimBeaver15 on social media. I will once again be out at Sturgis this weekend. Swing by, say hey, hit me up on social. If you're in the area, I would love to meet you fans. And, you know, we'll be recording a show with Fistful of Bourbon when we're there on site. So, yeah, lots of good stuff happening out there at Sturgis, and I can't wait to take it all in. And then fast forward to next week, I will be racing Vegas. Vegas Torino. So once again, you know, give me a shout, swing by, say what's up at Contingency, and we'll be bumping, banging through that Nevada desert in our Polaris Razor on those Gentle tires and Vision wheels. So yeah, lots of good stuff to come the next couple of weeks for me, that's for sure. And we'd love to meet you guys. So once again, at Jim Beaver 15. Big thanks to all our partners: Gentle Tire, Polaris Razor, Vision Wheel, Dirtfish, Rigid, GSP XTB Axles, Optimus, iRacing, Fistful of Bourbon. Definitely can't you know, leave them out of the equation. Acronis, man, we got some amazing partners in the show. You know, companies that keep us going, keep us in business, keep us doing radio for 10 years. And you know, I'm thinking about some special stuff for our 10th anniversary show coming in the end of the year. So if you have ideas, guest suggestions, anybody you want on the show, any guest hosts you would like, let me know, man. We've got a lot to do. I would love to do something big. Let's do it big on site an event. You let me know, and we will lock it. We'll load it. We'll make it happen. Maybe PRI show in December. That would be fun. Anyways, yeah, a lot more to come. We've got a lot of stuff going on, and would love to have you guys involved. But I am headed out to Sturgis, so you guys have a great weekend, a safe week. Be safe out there, and we will continue to do radio, and hopefully you continue to listen, and we'll see you next time right here on the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.